Here's Andy Udman.
I mean, if you want to compare levels, like the levels that were in my apartment where I was ill in London were 1,700 microwatts per meter squared. And in Grand Bend, right over the like the Children's Park and everything, it's 15,000. And in Port Franks, I think the highest like reproducible one they had was 34,500.
Would you ditch the following? Cell phones?
Yes.
Baby monitors?
Definitely.
Cordless phones?
For sure.
Microwave ovens?
Yes.
Cell phone towers?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Are we all going to move to Tanzania?
You don't have to. You just have to turn the stuff off. I mean, it's a beautiful country down here, and nobody needs to have to move.
Okay.
I don't want to have to move, and I don't think, yeah, it can be a beautiful, you know, radiation-free country again, and there's other technologies they can use, and we can certainly at least immediately limit it, so it's not, you know, what's happening right now. It's really out of control.
It is shocking, folks, the electronic soup that we're all swimming in. The question is, what is it doing to our bodies? I think we're all curious about that. We want to know, or do we? Because there's growing evidence we are frying like bacon in a pan. Good morning, London. It is Thursday, 25th day of July. The show is London Today. My name is Andy Udman. We have a breaking news story I want to share with you very quickly before we get to this story. Let's move on to this incredible story I want to share with you. It's not pretty. It's not pleasant. But we need to talk about it. If you are old enough to remember when people thought cigarettes smoking was entirely normal, something all males especially should do, then you will understand a little the comparisons that I want to make between the current debate over cell phone radiation. You probably don't want to hear this, but we are now hearing it from so many people, including, and this is the hook on this story, I really, really want to invite you to join us at 10 o'clock this morning to hear from the former president of Microsoft Canada. His name is Frank Clegg. He has now devoted his life to this issue. Electronic smog, cell phone radiation, signals from microwave towers, powerful routers in our schools and in our radio stations. I'm looking down a hall here. I can see this industrial strength router looking at me like, do you know what I'm doing to your body? Yeah, it's a very serious concern. It may well be causing or at least contributing to a whole host of disorders like cancer, like autism, other terrible diseases. It's bad in London, so bad an airline pilot who was living here had to move to Grand Bend and then Port Franks. And now it's very bad there. We have people living in Grand Bend and in Port Franks who are virtual prisoners in their own homes. They have built a protective device as best they can in their homes. It's still not protecting them. So that's the former president of Microsoft Canada, Frank Clegg, joining us in our 10 o'clock hour, as well as people who have been directly affected by this issue. Now, to make this story real on a human level, I want to share with you now a chat I had just less than an hour ago with an airline pilot, now a former airline pilot who now lives in Grand Bend. She had to leave London because of this problem. She is at the moment that we are, right at this very moment, she's driving to Oakville, which she dreads because it's going to have a negative effect on her health. But that's where her very specialized doctor is, and she's going for an appointment to deal with this issue of electromagnetic sensitivity, which millions of people around the world have. Listen to her incredible story. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Andy, for having me on.
We actually want to be upfront and transparent. We recorded this a little earlier this morning, quarter after eight. You're away from your home this morning because?
Oh, I'm actually going to the doctor. I'm leaving in about 15 minutes to go down to Oakville to see another specialist.
Related to this whole cell phone radiation electromagnetic problem.
That's right. Yeah.
How is your health, Melissa?
Well, it had slightly improved, I would say. I was seeing a homeopathic doctor. I still am in Woodstock, who's helped with my tinnitus. So that's really helped just my day-to-day living. So it's probably about 30% better. But unfortunately, last week they put on more, they doubled the amount of cell panels on the Grand Bend Tower. So I'm actually quite a bit worse again, unfortunately. So, yeah. Anyway.
So you can tell directly the effects on your health as they fire up this tower and double the power in Grand Bend.
Oh yeah, you can look for myself. I can feel it on my skin. So it's, you know, a constant feeling I have everywhere in my house, and it's worse upstairs because the levels are worse, and most of it comes in through the roof. We actually have a screen porch on the front of the house, and the metal screening actually blocks a lot of the radiation just in that one room, so I spend a lot of time on the front porch. But as soon as you get back behind that, it comes in over the roof, and so we've had to move our, and we did that before we moved our bedroom to the basement bedroom, and I'm basically living in the basement. But now it's, you know, it's very difficult. So we're really considering trying to find somewhere else right now.
This is incredible. Here you are, you were an airline pilot, flew around the world, and now you're saying you're confined to a small room in Grand Bend because of electronic smog?
Yes, and to tell you the truth, the place where I'm confined isn't great. So the best place I have locally is parts of the Pinery. I can go and sit in the Pinery and get some more relief. But there are three cell towers now on each side of the Pinery, so it's not like it was before when I moved here last year.
Have you considered more drastic solutions like none of it?
Well, unfortunately, I have to look after my parents. I'm an only child, and my parents are elderly, and they need someone to care for them, and they live about an hour and a half from here, and my husband works in London, and, you know, it's already an hour commute for him, so moving to some place, I don't really even know where to go, to tell you the truth. I know some people who have places, like, out literally in the wilderness, and they go there for some, you know, a week or two for some reprieve, but even, you know, sometimes you can't actually get away from that even there. You'd be surprised how many towers there are, like, all over the country. And it's very difficult to get away from it.
Melissa, I know what our listeners are thinking right now. They're thinking, okay, you know, I'm wrestling with this, but I believe Melissa's health issues are related to radiation from all our electronic gadgets, but she's the only one. I'll bet there's not another one. Certainly, I'm not affected. I've had a cell phone for years. I have cordless phones. I have microwave ovens, so I'm not affected. What would you say to them?
Well, a lot of people don't feel it. I mean, I haven't. I don't want to say more acute, but I can definitely confirm. You know, my skin turns red when I'm around it. I swell up, and you know, and then there's the internal symptoms that I have. There are many people that are having milder symptoms than that. And if I look back, after, you know, I had like an acute reaction a couple of years ago, and over a two-week period, I became, you know, extremely sensitive. But before that, I was having symptoms before that. I just, you know, thought, you know, that they weren't that problematic. Like, I knew that, you know, and if I did have a cell phone for a month and a half, probably about 7 years ago, and it wasn't until my face started turning numb when I was using it that I got really concerned. But before that, you know, my ear would heat up, and I would feel kind of like I'd been on the phone too long before, you know, like within 5 minutes I felt, you know, I'd been talking on the phone for hours. I had that same sensation, and lots of people feel that. And
literally your face went numb talking on a cell phone?
Yeah, it did. It went numb. It would start feeling kind of numb, and then I would hang up, you know, thinking, okay, I'm just, you know, I just got to hang up the phone. But one time I had to use the phone for probably about less than a minute, and I was walking out to my car behind her home, and my face went numb on the right side, and then it stayed for about 2 weeks. And, you know, I was on vacation, and, you know, I didn't report it for a week because, you know, obviously they're going to probably stop me from flying, which they did, until I had more further testing done, which came out fine. I had an MRI, and it was fine, even though the MRI actually didn't agree with me, and I had a lot of vertigo after the MRI. But, you know, it...
Do you have friends, neighbors, family in the Grand Bend area and here in London who are suffering from the same thing?
Yes, both in... I do have friends that are, they're not in Grand Bend. I have a friend in London that has some symptoms with this. It's gotten quite a bit worse in the past year. And now she's asking me for help. And, you know, she's just been listening to me with my issue for a while. But I do have other neighbors that are having problems since they put the tower in. There's probably about 13 in Grand Bend now. There's a little bit more now in Port Franks. The radiation levels are really high in Grand Bend. In Port Franks, they're probably about, you know, 2.5 times higher for some reason. And, you know, partially maybe because they have less trees, but, I mean, that town is being blasted right now. I mean, Grand Bend's being blasted, but they're, I mean, if you want to compare levels, like the levels that were in my apartment where I was ill in London were 1,700 microwatts per meter squared. And in Grand Bend, right over the, like, the children's park and everything, it's 15,000. And in Port Franks, I think the highest, like, reproducible one they had was 34,500. Somebody did measure 80,000, but they couldn't reproduce it. So, I mean, you have to kind of look, you have to use a meter and find it. So we were just going with reproducible levels. But so it's exceptionally high. Like, I mean, I think Port Franks probably has the best service in the country right now. Because it's not like that in the city.
The best service and the worst health threat for people like you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we were trying to make it an area where there was none. And, you know, like, because it's the way the land's formed there. They have dunes that block the radiation. So,
Melissa, there was a time when everybody smoked. Virtually everybody smoked. When I was a kid, at my sister's wedding, they handed out packages of cigarettes. And nobody believed that there were serious health effects. Is this similar?
Oh, yeah. This is, and it's way more pervasive. I mean, you can't get away from it. I can't shoot, like, you know, I mean, as a, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, people smoking all the time. You had a choice to smoke. I mean, you could decide if you didn't want to go to a restaurant, even if, you know, but, I mean, I'm getting radiated in my house. I don't have a choice. I can't work because of this. You know, I'm a very productive person. I feel like I could do almost anything, and there's hardly anything I can do because, you know, there's Wi-Fi everywhere. There's, wireless. Even just working in a store, they have wireless Visa machines. People carry cell phones all day with them on.
When's the last time you had a coffee at Tim Hortons?
It's been a few weeks, but I went through the drive-thru. I never go into Tim Hortons.
You couldn't?
Well, if I went in, I would be just feeling sick. I mean, I would just ruin my day, so I don't go in. I mean, I choose not to do that.
Because of the Wi-Fi?
Oh, yeah. And many places like that. Like even going to Oakville today, it's so difficult just to even drive into Oakville. And, you know, I know it's for my own benefit to help me, hopefully, in the future, but I would never go there if I didn't have to. Like it's, as soon as you get into the higher density areas, there's a ton of cell towers, and it's really strong, and it's very difficult to be there.
In our next hour, we're going to be talking to Frank Clegg.
That's great.
And that is something that I would really, really like to invite you folks to join us for. Frank Clegg is a former president of Microsoft Canada. Now, with an organization he's founded and he leads, Citizens for Safe Technology. He's not suggesting we all throw out our cell phones, and he is suggesting that, especially in our schools, we hardwire our schools and not use Wi-Fi. Do you know what the situation is in your school? I'm inviting you this morning for just a couple of moments. Now, in our next hour, we're going to have the full hour on this subject, so feel free to call in. But if you have some immediate reaction to what you've just heard, it is shocking. It is jaw-dropping, in fact, because of what Melissa says is true, folks. We are in for a health crisis epidemic related to this. Do you believe autism is related to electronic smog? Do you believe cancer is a possible outcome of electronic smog? Would you buy a house under hydro wires? We have over the years, my wife and I, seen a number of homes that were very attractive and priced very well. A lovely yard. Well landscaped. Close to London. Price was good. Just one little problem. Actually, five or six. The big wires going right over top of the house. Do you believe there's a connection to all these diseases? 643-1290, back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. So again, we're going to spend the full hour after 10 o'clock this morning with Frank Clegg, the former president of Microsoft Canada, on this issue of cell phone radiation, microwave radiation. Okay, 10 o'clock news coming up. And then after the news, folks, I want to invite you to join us for an extraordinary hour. Frank Clegg is the former president of Microsoft Canada. It's a company you may have heard of. He's now retired from that job. He's devoting his life to warning you and me about technology, about electronic smog, cell phone and cell tower radiation. We have stories of individuals cooped up in their houses in Grand Bend and now looking to move from them because of cell phone and microwave tower radiation. Extraordinary story. I want to keep the lines open to get your thoughts, your perspective when we talk to Frank Clegg in the next hour, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Here's Andy Udman.
I mean, if you want to compare levels, like the levels that were in my apartment where I was ill in London were 1,700 microwatts per meter squared. And in Grand Bend, right over the, like, the Children's Park and everything, it's 15,000. And in Port Franks, I think the highest, like, reproducible one they had was 34,500.
Would you ditch the following? Cell phones?
Yes.
Baby monitors?
Definitely.
Cordless phones?
For sure.
Microwave ovens?
Yes.
Cell phone towers?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Are we all going to move to Tanzania?
You don't have to. You just have to turn the stuff off. I mean, it's a beautiful country down here, and nobody needs to have to move.
Okay.
I don't want to have to move, and I don't think, it can be a beautiful, you know, radiation-free country again, and there's other technologies they can use, and we can certainly at least very, at least immediately limit it, so it's not, you know, what's happening right now. It's really out of control.
Wow. Rick, let's play that first clip again. What did she say about the cell phone and microwave radiation over the playground in Grand Bend? I was just in Grand Bend on the weekend. It's one of my favorite haunts. Let's hear it again.
I mean, if you want to compare levels, like the levels that were in my apartment where I was ill in London were 1,700 microwatts per meter squared. And in Grand Bend, right over the, like, the Children's Park and everything, it's 15,000. And in Port Franks, I think the highest, like, reproducible one they had was 34,500.
I'm asking you folks this morning to be open-minded. I'm wrestling with this just as you are, to be open-minded. It's one of the toughest challenges you can ask of somebody who has strong views on a subject like, are we being fried by electronic smog? To be open-minded. I don't have the answers, but I'm sure going looking for them. And when I hear an airline pilot tell us the story that she shared with us in the last hour, Melissa Chalmers, on the run from cell phone radiation, wouldn't dream of going to Tim Hortons because of their Wi-Fi service. She does go to Tim Hortons, but only gets her coffee or whatever she drinks or eats from the drive through. An airline pilot, if you can imagine, forced to leave her career because of this very issue, cell phone, cell tower radiation. And that's an adult. We're going to talk about the effect on your kids. I want to ask you right off the top this morning, before we talk to the former president of Microsoft Canada, who has made this a personal crusade to make you more aware of this, do you believe it? Have you been affected? Are you open-minded to the possibility that the radiation from all our devices, everything from our microwaves to our cell phones to our beloved iPads, may be killing us? Are we in the frying pan, slowly being fried? Phone lines are lighting up already. Let's just pick one at random. Shelley, what's your story? Okay, let me just push one other button here, and we'll have Shelley. There we go. Shelley, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Shelley. What's your story? Do you believe what you're hearing about electronic smog, cell phone radiation, all this nasty stuff, which may be having serious consequences for our health?
Absolutely. I am a teacher in Ontario, but I've been diagnosed with electromagnetic hypersensitivity by a reputable doctor at Women's College Hospital, and it's taken me a couple of years to figure out exactly why I was so ill, and it's basically when I'm around wireless technologies, I get posterior sharp head pains, razor-sharp head pains, followed by chronic fatigue that can last for days, and it's very painful. I can't go into public places. I tried going to Wonderland with my family, and within 10 minutes in a line, I was cooked, so I had to leave. And that was unfortunate because I had a season's pass and didn't anticipate not being able to go out in public, especially when I was outdoors.
Why Canada's Wonderland? Why is that such an area of high electronic smog concentration?
Well, they have a cell tower close by, and those that have electromagnetic hypersensitivity sensations, find that it is intolerable to be physically close to cell towers. Also, when you're standing in line for a ride, there's texting constantly around you. And I didn't notice it at first. I was engaged with my family, and then when I had the sharp head pains, I realized what was happening. And usually for electromagnetic hypersensitivity symptoms, it takes about 10 minutes within a wireless environment before we, 10 or 15 minutes before we start to feel the negative biological effects. And then it goes downhill from there.
Shelley, let me ask you this. Ground zero in this battle is the classroom, and that's where the concern has been focused. We have had on this talk show, Pam, Colleen, and I, school principals who have decided to withdraw the Wi-Fi service and hardwire their computer services. Are you suggesting that your situation was aggravated by what you were exposed to in the classroom?
I'm not sure exactly if I can answer that fully. Certainly there's a tremendous amount of electrosmog in public as well. I do know that in terms of aggravation, any additional wireless radiation that a person is exposed to, it has an accumulative effect. So my doctor has recommended that I avoid it as much as possible.
Okay, so what have you done? Before we let you go, just run down what devices you are now very concerned about and what you've done to protect yourself.
The devices that I was really concerned with were cell phones, anything with Bluetooth, wireless laptops, any gaming systems, those kinds of things. My house is completely clear of that. I have two teenage children who gave up their cell phones willingly when we gave them hardwired laptops and the ability to Skype with their friends. And I had to get rid of my microwave, which I absolutely loved. And we have everything hardwired now, and I'm feeling much healthier at home, but I can't enter into the public sector because there is no accessibility for EHS people in terms of libraries, coffee shops, and all those places.
Okay, so no coffees at Tim Hortons.
No coffee at Tim Hortons. I stay in my house as much as possible.
Wow.
And have my friends over. I'm a very social person, but I can't go grocery shopping anymore. So,
Shelley, incredible story. We thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, and again, before we talk to Frank Clegg, the former president of Microsoft Canada, one more call, if we could. Tony, what's your story?
Dr. Barry Trower, an Englishman. Have you heard of him?
No. I have, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody should hear about him. Mm-hmm. But he's a scientist, and he's fully knowledgeable about microwave, and he tells you the story in Moscow, after microwave energy was discovered, the Russians were bombarding the American embassy with microwaves. And the Americans finally found out because a lot of their people were dying. And they kept quiet about it to find out what all this was about. And they discovered the marvelous wonders of microwave.
Bottom line, Tony, are you concerned about microwave radiation in London, Ontario?
It's used for warfare. And they know exactly what to tune, what frequency.
Let me repeat the question, Tony, because we're focusing it on London, Ontario now. Are you concerned about all the radiation from cell phones, from cell phone towers?
I am, because there must be something wrong with people when I tell you it's worldwide. They all know about it, and it's used. They can kill you with one frequency, and then they can damage your heart with one different one, and your thyroid with a different frequency. They know it, and they don't want to stop this because it is a weapon of warfare.
Okay, thank you, Tony. I want to invite now our special guest, and Pam, if you would introduce Frank Clegg. And I was so touched when I watched his videos this morning in the last couple of days at how emotionally he is on this subject and passionate he is and he's dedicating his life now. This is a former president of Microsoft Canada. Dedicating his life to?
He is now the head of a group called Citizens for Safe Technology, and their goal is to get 1 million Canadians signed up who are concerned about the adverse health effects of electromagnetic radiation. Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
Frank, very kind of you to join us. I was so impressed at the passion with which you approach this subject. What was it, Frank, you being the former president of Microsoft Canada, that made you, in the eyes of some of your colleagues, go over to the dark side and start questioning whether some of this technology, the way we're using it at least, is safe?
I was introduced to three cell tower situations in our local community, and as I the more research that I did, the more scientists that I spoke with, the more investigation that I did, the more concerned I became. You know, in my career, I've seen technology do some amazing thing and provide some amazing benefits, but I've also seen technology implemented incorrectly. In my opinion, the way that we're implementing technology, wireless technology in Canada, is not safe. And so, as I say, the more homework I did, the more concerned I became. And the more people I talked to, I felt there's a role that I could play to help raise awareness and to really work with the federal government to change this way outdated regulations that we have.
Now, how receptive has the government been, though, in terms of tougher regulations on the industry?
Well, there hasn't been anything done to date. It takes a long time. It takes a process. We are concerned, quite frankly, of there's an update. Safety Code 6 is the overriding umbrella of regulation that Health Canada uses to monitor and limit radiation exposure. And the process they're going through right now is there is an external review put on by the Royal Society of Canada. And we've now documented twice significant concerns we have with this, quote, independent panel. We think the panel is very biased. We think the panel is influenced by industry. So we're spending a lot of our efforts right now asking for the Royal Society to disband this panel and start over because their chair had to resign because of a conflict of interest he did not disclose. So, you know, that's the indication of what the government's doing. It's concerning. I am optimistic, though, as we get more people on board and raise more awareness that the government will pay attention and update this Safety Code 6, which hasn't been changed since 1980.
Frank, let me get back to my question, and I want to get... when we have people on this show, as we do regularly, who at great sacrifice to their own lives decide that they're going to be a crusader for a certain cause. And boy, I saw that in your videos this morning. What is driving you? What is it in your life, in your circle of friends, or in the evidence that you've seen that has said to you, regardless of what else you've accomplished in your life, and you have accomplished so much, that Frank Clegg is going to go down as having warned society about electronic smog, about cell phone and cell tower radiation?
Well, I think you just... I live in the town of Oakville, just outside of Toronto, and there was a situation where Bell Canada put a tower, actually nine antennas on a building that they owned in a residential community. And the readings, you heard Melissa say some of the readings in Grand Bandon, and this child's bedroom is 12 meters from this antenna, and it's reading over 10,000 microwatts per meter squared. And that's just completely unsafe for a child to grow up. Like, we know there's sterility concerns. We know there's cancer concerns.
Just before you go on, there was a figure you just mentioned. Was it 10,000?
Yes.
We had in our last hour an airline pilot who's now living in Grand Bend who says in the playground area on the beach in Grand Bend, it's 15,000.
She said as high as 34,500 in Port Franks.
In Port Franks, mm-hmm. Double that, 34,000. These are in some of our favorite haunts where we go to. I love Grand Bend, and I'm just shocked at these numbers.
Well, let me give you another number that'll make you even more concerned, which is really what got me. The Safety Code 6 that I referred to, the official number that they can actually crank it up to is 10 million.
Oh.
And we had, I attended a presentation from an Industry Canada representative, and he tried to make us feel comfortable. He made the statement, and it's on our website, c4st.org, sorry, I put the plug in, but the CN Tower and its emissions are only 10% of Safety Code 6. So what that says is that tower in Grand Bend or that tower in Port Franks or the ones you're concerned about in the London area or anywhere in Canada can be 10 times the power of the CN Tower and still be less than Safety Code 6.
In other words, Ottawa's clueless.
They're not. They're behind the times for sure. Andy, they have not, as I say, Safety Code 6 hasn't had a significant update since the 1980s, and that was before smartphones and cell phones were even used in public. So Wi-Fi was not in schools. You know, baby monitors were not using video technology. Tim Hortons didn't have them on their in the lineup for getting coffee. None of this technology was in place in the 80s, and that's when the Safety Code was implemented. It hasn't been changed.
It sounds like we're all canaries in a coal mine here.
The biggest concern right now, quite frankly, that I have is that there is no proof that this technology is safe. And the industry keeps coming on and saying, and Industry Canada and Health Canada saying, there's no proof of harm. Well, I have the opposite effect. I'm saying if you're going to roll this out, the onus should be on industry to prove it's safe. The onus shouldn't be on organizations like myself to try to do fundraising and hire experts to prove it's harmful. The onus should be on industry to prove that it's safe before you put it in.
But industry, of course, is going to say it's safe. It's cigarette science. The cigarette industry did that for years and had the wool pulled over our eyes.
Well, that's where it gets back to this Royal Society, where you've got half the panel that are paid by industry to be spokespeople. So you know, not only is the process out of date, the process in our opinion is corrupted.
Frank, how real is this danger to all of us? I mean, sure, we've had this airline pilot on, you know, who lived in London in White Oaks and found she could not stand the radiation from cell towers. So she moved to Grand Bend, and it was okay for a while until they fired up a new tower. And now she has this shielding on her home. And we're going to, in our next half hour, talk to another woman in Grand Bend who has this shielding on her home, trying to protect her from this kind of radiation. But people can easily dismiss one or two or maybe three people with stories like that. They're saying, oh, but it doesn't affect me. I use cell phones and iPads and Deck 6 phones and microwave ovens and all the rest all the time, and I'm totally happy and healthy.
There's a lot of studies going on. At least 3% of the population will be impacted in the short term. So, like the airline pilot that you talked to, and I think the previous speaker, I think Shelley was her name, called in. The concern, though, this isn't like a peanut allergy, whether you have it or you don't. This is like cigarette smoke where it builds up inside you. So radiation, and you know, it goes back to the radiation that we know for sure 100% is harmful. If you get exposed to repeated doses of radiation, your body builds up and it can impact you. I've seen reports where it could be, you know, 10 or 15 or even 20% of the population could be impacted over time. Now, there are people who smoke cigarettes and they said, I've been smoking a pack a day for years and it doesn't bother me. Well, that doesn't mean that everybody can. So, to answer your question specifically, we know at least 3% of the population will be impacted. There are reports that number will increase as there's more and more exposure, particularly young children.
Okay, now, in the spirit of transparency, you know, we talked about a lot of the science that our government uses. It's contaminated by lobby groups, by money from industry. Are you in any way... And I'm not a journalist if I don't ask this question, so please don't take it as being an improper or impolite question. Are you in any way benefiting from warning Canadians about the dangers of technology?
No, Andy, I am not. I am not involved in any way in any of these technologies that protect people, the shielding or anything. I have zero, nor does my family, nor do I have any interest financially in any of these organizations.
In fact, you could be holidaying and having a great time relaxing instead of pushing the cause on talk radio.
He's on vacation right now, Andy.
yeah, we're actually up north, but listen, I don't mind. I'm wired in.
I have a few questions we haven't gotten to. Are you able to stay with us for a bit on the other side of the news update?
Yeah, sure I can.
No, not if it's a sacrifice.
No, I don't mind.
Okay, we'll make it brief. 5 minutes.
Sure.
And okay, terrific. And then, folks, I do want you to hear a segment on 16x9 on Global on this very issue of how your kids, it's like they're in a frying pan when they're sitting in school with these industrial strength routers. You need to pay attention. I'll share that report. And we'll talk further with Frank Clegg. And we invite you to call 643-1290. Cell phones and the radiation we're dealing with today in 2013 may well prove to be what cigarettes were in 1970. That sociably acceptable and wonderful product which is killing us. Back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
And while we're talking about cell phones, how about your smartphone? Once again, major concerns are being raised over the safety of long and continued use. France, among other countries, has issued a warning saying prolonged use can lead to health problems. Frank Clegg, the former president of Microsoft Canada, is now the head of Citizens for Safe Technology.
We can't come to you and say, turn your phone off and never use it again. That's just not the reality. So what are some of the guidelines and some of the alternatives? We are citizens for safe technology. We're not citizens for no technology. There's a time and a place for every tool you have in your life. There's a time and a place for technology.
Here's Mary Garofalo.
Good evening and welcome to 16x9, The Bigger Picture. You can't see it, you can't taste it, but some are calling it a serious health threat every parent should know about. Wi-Fi, wireless internet, is in schools coast to coast, but why do some kids say Wi-Fi is making them sick? In a 16x9 investigation, we put Wi-Fi to the test.
It was an incredible story on 16x9 Global's news documentary show. I'll be sharing that with you a little later on this half hour. We have been in conversation, Pam Colleen and I, with the former president of Microsoft Canada, Frank Clegg, who's, well, it's a crusade that he is on now to warn us about radiation from cell phones, from cell phone towers. And it just has struck me how passionate he is about this subject. We're going to get back to Frank in just a moment, but I want to go first to one of our callers, Laureen, who has a story. Laureen, I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
What's your situation? Where do you live, and are you affected by this?
Yes, I live in Port Franks, and I'm 350 meters from a cell tower that just went up in, and went live in March.
You're 350 meters from a microwave cell tower?
Yes.
Have you measured the potency of the radiation coming out of this tower?
Before the tower went live, after the tower went live, and after I shielded my house.
And what did it measure?
At the end of my laneway, it's 29,000 microwatts per meter squared.
29,000. I want to bring Frank Clegg back into the conversation because he would understand more. We'll reconnect with Frank in just a moment. We want to get some perspective on those numbers, but... Pam, when we talked to our friend in Grand Bend, Melissa Chalmers, she was saying that in the playground area on the beach there in Grand Bend, the cell phone radiation levels are 15,000 units. And, Laureen, you're saying you're in Port Franks, you're at 29,000?
Yes, and directly across the street from me on my neighbor's front lawn is 34,500.
The thing about this radiation, Andy, is you can't see it, you can't smell it. Some people can feel it. But, you know, people are complacent on this issue simply because of the invisibility of this electrosmog.
Okay. Can we, Rick, if we could bring Frank Clegg back on now, because I want to get his perspective. Frank, a caller from Port Franks was just saying that these units that we've been referring to, and what are they called again, Frank?
Microwatts per meter squared.
Microwatts per meter squared. That the level in Port Franks, which everybody in London, Ontario knows... what were they again, Laureen?
29,000 microwatts per meter squared.
Right at your driveway?
At my driveway.
And there's an area where it's even higher?
34,500.
Frank, what's your reaction to that?
It's not survivable. Let me go back to the science. There is a report, a group in the U.S., or based actually from out of the U.S., but they got two dozen scientists from around the world back in 2007. And they came out with a very extensive report that broke down, and they reviewed over 1,000 studies on a worldwide basis. And their recommendation for outside the house for a safe level was 1,000 microwatts per meter squared.
So what are you saying, Frank, about people who are living right now in Port Franks and dealing with these unit levels at over 30,000?
Well, they have, unfortunately, you can't, the industry will tell you, and Industry Canada will tell you that it's below Safety Code 6, so it's safe. So the solution is we have to go back and change Safety Code 6. Safety Code 6 has to get back to these levels that are, and Bell Canada and TELUS Canada are on record in public that they could live with these records of 1,000 microwatts per meter squared.
They could live with it. So they can fix the problem, in other words.
Bell Canada presented in the city of Mississauga a presentation where there was a town council in presence that said they could live with this bioinitiative level in a two-kilometer by two-kilometer densely populated area in Mississauga.
But Frank, I want to keep it real simple for our audience who have all these numbers jumping around in their heads. Laureen has said that the radiation level in Port Franks, about an hour from London, is at over 30,000. And you said when I first asked you about that's unsustainable. What are you saying?
It's unsurvivable.
Unsurvivable.
Yeah, according to this the bioinitiative report, which reviewed 1,000 studies. Maximum level that people should have outside is 1,000.
But if Bell Canada and other companies are saying it's fixable, why aren't they doing it? Are they just going to adhere to Safety Code 6, or do they just have to wait for Safety Code 6 to update first?
Unfortunately, based on their actions, what they're doing is they're saying we're below the standards of Safety Code 6. If you read what the industry says, if you read what the Bells and the Telses and the Rogers say, they are not saying this technology is safe. What they're saying, it's very carefully worded, what they're saying is it meets the requirements of the federal regulation.
Okay, but what you're saying, and this is, because that's such an explosive thing, and whenever a guest says something really explosive, I want to make sure that our audience fully understands what you're saying. What do you mean that this level of radiation in Port Franks is unsurvivable?
I think people will absolutely be sick. There's a American Academy of Environmental Medicine has predicted that 3% of the people will react right away, and up to 30% will have delayed effects. I think people in Port Franks will start to see the effects. The people who are electrosensitive will see them right away. As Arain has seen, you start getting headaches, you start feeling nauseous, you start feeling that you can't sleep, your body starts to feel wired. And I think, unfortunately, years from now, we will start to see the cancer rates go up.
You're making it sound like this is cigarettes and cancer all over again.
I believe it is.
When was Safety Code 6 last updated?
1980. There's been nothing major since 1980.
Look at the changes that have gone on with technology.
Well, there is no, Health Canada, when we met with them, could not point to a study that showed that people who extensively use smartphones today, which have only come along in the last few years, that they can prove that it's safe. They can't show any studies that are safe.
Frank, I keep wanting to drive this point home. What would you say is more dangerous to the health of Lorraine Maurizio, who's on the other line living in Port Franks, if she were to continue to live there and be exposed to this cell phone radiation, or if she were to smoke two packs a day?
Andy, that's a bit unfair. I think that the results show that they're similar. You can have the same effect. We're seeing the same increase in cancer risks from exposure to wireless radiation that we saw from cigarette smoking 10, 20 years ago.
What are you saying to Lorraine? Get out of Port Franks? Get out of Grand Bend?
Unfortunately, if you can afford to. The problem is there's no safe place. You know, we talk about I'm up at a cottage and there's cell towers within 3 kilometers of where we are right now. And they can just continue to dial them up. The only way to fix this is to fix Safety Code 6.
Lorraine, you mentioned a shield. You've tried to build a shield around your house, and people are trying to picture, well, what does that shield look like? I mean, is there a way to protect yourself from this kind of radiation? And if so, what is it, Lorraine?
Well, it's not perfect, Andy. It's a stopgap. And what it looks like is, you know, the insect screen that you put on your windows? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's aluminum mesh screening, and mm-hmm. I have had it installed across 2 walls of my house.
I want to ask you about it in just a moment, but I promised Frank that we'd let him go because he is on vacation. Frank, a parting message on this issue, which you feel so passionately about that you have dedicated your retirement years. What is it you're trying to tell us?
I guess I go back to this whole current update for Safety Code 6 and the fact that the Royal Society is letting Canadians down. I think that the industry has infiltrated the safety system that we have. And fortunately, I'm very concerned that the Royal Society is not stepping up and creating an independent panel. So I would ask your listeners to go to our website, c4st.org, and there's a under Safety Code 6, and send an email to the new Minister of Health, raise her awareness, send an email to the new Minister of Industry at the federal level, and send an email to they're all on our website, they can just fill in the form and send it up to the Royal Society President and say, you are not living up to your conflict of interest that the Royal Society has. I think I said this in a letter to the President, I've actually said it's a sham, this update that we're using. They will not change Safety Code 6 unless they get a true independent panel. Health Canada needs to step up and do a better job of analyzing the science. And I'm asking your listeners to help us put pressure on the government and on the Royal Society to disband the current panel they have in place and to put in a true independent panel that is not prejudiced by industry and funded by industry, and to have a true evaluation. Because we may be stuck with the Safety Code 6 for the next another 5 to 10 years, which just would be incredible. So please help us get the government to
let me repeat the website. I think it's important to repeat the website again. It's www.c4st, S for safe, and T for technology. So it's www.c4st. MHST.org.
Final question, Frank. I asked this of Melissa Chalmers, the airline pilot who I referred to earlier, who is on the run from radiation, literally on the run, and would move to Nunavut if she knew that it would protect her. I asked her, would you ban cell phones? She said, I would. Would you ditch cordless phones? I would. Would you get rid of microwaves? Yes, I would. Would you ditch iPads? Yes, I would. Frank, I know you don't go that far. What are you saying, and especially on the issue of industrial-strength routers in our schools?
Definitely not. Wi-Fi should not be in schools. It should not be turned on the whole time the students are there, particularly preschools and kindergarten. That's just criminal, in my opinion, and that should not happen. You can turn them on for certain periods of the day. This whole bring-your-own-device-to-school thing to me is just scares me to death. That's like saying bring a pack of cigarettes and let's light up. So no to that. Baby monitors, no, not by your child's head. You wouldn't put a microwave oven and turn it on all night and put it in your kid's bedroom. Why the heck would you put a microwave emitting baby monitor? You have Wi-Fi in your home, go to Canadian Tire and buy a timer and turn it off every night when you go to. But these are all on our website. You go to our homepage, you go up to the top, it talks about safety tips for your family. Baby monitors, no. Wi-Fi, turn it off at night. Cordless phones, I know they're convenient. We've taken them all out of our house, and I have to run to the other room. And when I sit outside, I have to leave the door open and run a cord. But cordless phones emit Wi-Fi. You don't need them. Just live with the inconvenience. If you have a smart meter by your house, if you can avoid having a smart meter on your home, these smart meters for water or hydro. If you can't do that, make sure it's not positioned near your bedroom or you spend a lot of time. And just your cell phone, just don't put it in your pocket. We did a video where it shows there's sterility. If you're a male, there's potential cancer. If you're a female, don't put it in your breast pocket near your heart. Keep it away from your body when you use it. Do not put it near your head. And under any circumstance, put your cell phone to your head. Use it on speaker mode. And for goodness sake, keep away from kids. And don't you give your cell phone, an active cell phone, to your kid as a toy. I just find that incredible. And, you know, if you're going to use an iPad or a reader, your kids use it, put it in an airplane mode and let them play with it. Not a toy. This is not a toy. This is a tool. You would not give your kid a screwdriver to play with. Don't give them a cell phone to play with.
Wow. Frank, I know you have to run. I thank you so much for joining us, especially on vacation. Wow, what an eye-opener. We'll talk again, Frank.
Okay, thank you for the invitation.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you so much. Whew. Heavy stuff, Diane. What's your reaction?
No, I just wanted to know, we've been doing some aggressive fundraising out here for our public schools. What about smart boards? Do they fall into that category?
Would have been a good question.
I know.
We'll
I
have
I
to
just
have
thought
Frank,
of it
Frank
when
back
I was listening.
On, yeah.
And,
go to his website, yeah. Because it's all on there.
Yeah.
But he's not saying, like, it's Citizens for Safe Technology. His organization is not called Let's Ban Cell Phones.
No,
it's
no,
Citizens,
I know that.
Citizens for Safe Technology, he described how at great personal inconvenience, he has hardwired his house, no Wi-Fi. And there are all kinds of tips on his website. I wish I had the answer for you right away. I don't.
Well, instead of our good old blackboards and the chalk, I don't know why we can't use that instead of these smart boards all the time.
Diane, appreciate the call. Let's go back to Lorene. I want to let Lorene go. She's been kind enough to join us. But Lorene, just very quickly, you're so desperate to fight this radiation that you've put this shield on your house. Just one more time, exactly what that involves?
It's an aluminum mesh screening. And I have used several rolls of it. There's probably about 700 linear feet of
this. And this is over your windows, right?
It goes over everything.
Oh. Where do you get this stuff?
You can get it from a hardware store, but you need to be absolutely certain that it is aluminum mesh and not some other alloy of metal. I purchased mine through a company in Toronto that deals with mesh screening.
Okay, before we let you go, what would you recommend to people as the best source of information if they're concerned about this issue, which all of us should be?
Well, you need to do a bit of homework. Electrosensitivity is recognized and specifically mentioned in the Human Rights Code.
Okay,
it's
a website. Do you have a website?
The Canadian Disability Act. And the websites that you could go to for information are, of course, the C4ST website. There is also the BC, the British Columbia C4ST Citizens for Safe Technology site, and their website is www.cst, And I believe it's .org.
I sense we have a groundswell of support for what
and
you're...
also the website, www.wendywalksfores. You'll remember Wendy Hoy, who walked to Ottawa to raise awareness last fall.
Absolutely. We had her on the air.
There is a tab with a whole lot of the medical resources and the current court cases that are ongoing listed on our website under resources, and that's wendywalksfores.com.
Lorene, we thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Andy, for bringing this topic to such an elevated status.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's go to Dave. Dave, do you have an answer for us on the smart board question?
Yes, I've been using this smart board for about 8 years. They're hardwired. They may appear to be wireless, but that's just because there's a data projector projecting an image onto a screen. So it's not wireless.
Okay, I appreciate it. Short break. We'll be back to wrap it up. If you have some quick thoughts, we have a moment on the other side of the break. Folks, this is really, really scary stuff. And when you're hearing it from an airline pilot, when you're hearing it from the president of Microsoft, the former retired president of Microsoft Canada, that little company you may have heard of, we need to pay attention. Back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Here's Mary Garofalo.
Good evening and welcome to 16 by 9, The Bigger Picture. You can't see it, you can't taste it, but some are calling it a serious health threat every parent should know about. Wi-Fi, wireless internet, is in schools coast to coast, but why do some kids say Wi-Fi is making them sick? In a 16 by 9 investigation, we put Wi-Fi to the test.
Okay, I'm going to encourage, Pam, our listeners, after hearing what they've heard the last hour, to go and watch that 16 by 9 report.
That's right. On the C4ST website, they have a page just with videos of information around this issue. So, again, the website is www.c4st.org.
Which, of course, stands for Citizens for Safe Technology.
That's right.
It's a must-see.
And there's letters people can write. Frank has all sorts of information on the website.
But how scary is that?
People can do. Yeah.
That the reading of these units, and Frank Clegg said that the safe level is 1,000 units. Mm-hmm. And in Port Franks, it's 34,000.
They're getting readings of, 29,000 was one reading, 34,500 another reading. This is unacceptable. And who's out there policing the situation? I mean, it's a free-for-all in terms of putting this technology out, using us as guinea pigs, and we're all part of this big, massive experiment, but somehow or another, Health Canada is turning a blind eye to the accountability that they have over this issue, that they can actually make industry set better regulations over what they're emitting.
And when you see people like an airline pilot moving out of London, now looking for a place to move out of Grand Bend and Port Franks, when you see the former president of Microsoft Canada making this a personal crusade, it is an issue that we need to focus on.
Right. There's a lot of people out there that are very sick from not just the chemicals in our environment, but the electricity, the radiation, all of the electrosmog that we're being exposed to today.
And still there's some right now. I don't want to know about it. I'm fine. I'm going to use my cell phone to call Andy and tell him.
Well, whatever happened to the precautionary principle? It's a forgotten science or a forgotten part of science over here in North America.
Well, we said the same thing about cigarettes in the 70s when we were all smoking.
Yeah.
I was just glad I couldn't stand the smoke going up my nose. That's what saved me from that one. Anyway, Pam, great hour. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
11 o'clock news. When we come back on the other side.